Tracy Westerman, Dr. Tracy Westerman, is a Ngaiyuwarr woman from the Pilbara. She moved from the Pilbara to study psychology at Curtin University when she was younger, and while she was there, she felt the gap of knowledge in the profession from an Indigenous perspective. She struggled to reconcile mainstream psychology with Aboriginal culture, and since then, her work has focused on establishing a different approach to addressing Aboriginal suicide and mental ill health, and developing the next generation of Indigenous psychologists. Off the back of a big concert to mark World Suicide Prevention Day, the Jilia concert was to raise funds and awareness of the issue. Dr. Tracy Westerman joins me this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, and good morning to the beautiful Kimberley. That was a wonderful introduction too. Thank you.
Oh, most welcome. So on the 10th of September, you had the Jilia concert for World Suicide Prevention Day, raising funds, raising awareness. Let's start with that. How did it go?
Oh, it just went probably beyond your wildest dreams, really. I mean, we had an amazing lineup of Indigenous artists, obviously, and then our very special guest, John Butler, all of whom donated their time for free to raise funds for Indigenous child suicides, and more specifically to increase the number of Indigenous psychologists in our highest risk communities. So as a result, I guess, of the concert proceeds and lots of work leading up to it, we've been able to award an additional 11 Indigenous psychology scholarships, which will join our 15 that were awarded in our inaugural year. So essentially in just 12 months of the Jilia Institute, we are now financially and personally mentoring 26 Indigenous psychology students from across this nation, which is pretty exciting stuff, really.
Yes, you speak about it as building an army of First Nations psychologists through the Institute. You mentioned you have 26 now who are going through that program with mentoring. Tell me more about the program that's run and the mentoring that they get.
Well, I mean, it's fantastic. They obviously, the scholarship itself is worth $10,000 a year. However, what we're actually finding is because psychology is such a, it's really predicated on a foundation of cultural exclusion, the training is very mainstream. And so a lot of these psychologists are individually feeling very isolated. They're feeling as if culture is essentially invisible within the training, and it certainly is. So my personal mentoring of each of the students ensures that they are not only developed as the best psychologists they can be, but also to ensure that they are trained in the best cultural practice so that they can then go back and deliver, you know, what are amongst the most tricky and complex services into our highest risk communities. So the mentoring is very personal. They all have, for example, my mobile number, my email address. It's not just about developing them as psychologists, though. We're also developing future leaders. So when they came across to Perth, 13 come across for the concert, they had the wonderful Tina Altieri provide some media training for them. Now, that's a great example of, you know, the fact that we are developing them as future leaders who, as psychologists, we need to often speak to the media, and we need to often speak and educate the public on what are really complex issues. So that's just one example, but we basically hold their hands through the end of their psychology degrees and whatever level whatever that involves, we just do it for them.
That's very interesting, Tracy, because it sounds like it's also about developing a language to talk about the issue, which is complex, as you say. And this is not to say that it's a this or that approach, but there's quite divergent ways of addressing the issue of suicide and mental ill health, from a cultural approach to a more clinical approach. What's your perspective on how it can be done to balance those two?
Well, you know, I think the thing is, you know, big systems don't move unless we provide them with irrefutable evidence of cultural difference. And so I've actually donated 23 years of, research and data into the Jilia Institute. And what it actually does is it fundamentally challenges the way that mainstream psychology has been going about delivering services to Indigenous people. Now, the great thing that actually does is it provides a really clear difference and around evidence base in terms of what irrefutably works. So then the students, who quite often have instincts around the fact that the training just isn't really meeting the mark, if you like, that actually validates them, because often when you're speaking a different language to the train that you're provided, often you think that you're the one that's got it wrong. And so it achieves lots of things. Building an army of Indigenous psychologists, it literally is, they have each other's backs and they support each other, and you know, we're all speaking the same language. And So what I always say is that, you know, we're much stronger together as Indigenous peoples, Aboriginal people, and we all get that as a concept. And so, you know, I don't wish my life away, but I'm excited about what this is going to achieve, you know, into the years to come.
I'd love it if you could tell me about some of the graduates. What's their background? How did they come to you? What sort of individuals are they?
Oh, look, they're exceptional. So we've got four of them who are from the Kimberley. So Tex Garson, some of you would be aware of his beautiful mum who works at, he's from Halls Creek, so he'll be our first Indigenous male psychologist from the Kimberley. We also have Nikki McKenzie, who's a dirty girl, and she's, again, I think she's in third year at Curtin University as well. We'll go back to Derby to work when she graduates. We have quite a number. We have Jodie Jones, who's our first Indigenous psychologist from Tasmania, and she just graduated with her psychology degree last month. So she's our, we're very, very proud of her. Taylor Thompson, who, wonderful, wonderful story. She's a Yamaji Noongar kid who also supports her two siblings just because it's through family trauma. So she works, supports her two siblings, and this year managed to get a 70 plus average to get into honours in psychology. So there are a litany of stories amongst these 26 that you can, they are extraordinary individuals as well as being extraordinary, future psychologists.
Tracy, it's great to hear about those individuals and all the good work that they're doing. While we've got you this morning, I wanted to ask more broadly. It's been nearly 2 years since the government handed down its response into the inquiry into the suicides of 13 children and young people in the Kimberley. What do you make of the response we've had in the last 2 years from government?
I think I've been pretty strongly on the record in terms of how I feel about the government's response to the Fogliani inquiry. And you know, look, I think also I've been very strongly on the record around the fact that, you know, we can't keep having inquiries. We've had now four government, successive government inquiries into the suicides of Indigenous people in the state, predominantly focused on the Kimberley, and suicides are continuing to escalate. So we know that that doesn't actually provide us with the answers that we know are causative of why, you know, we have this horrific, unacceptable rate of, you know, child suicide in our own backyard. What we know, I guess, is that it's about the absence of resources into those remote areas, and essentially why I started the psychology scholarship program was in pure frustration with the lack of services into those remote areas that, you know, our communities and our have a basic right to that just aren't being provided by successive governments.
We've got just about a minute and a half left, but on services, sometimes this issue is talked about as, oh, well, it's not a 2 year issue, it's a 20 year issue. And fair enough, we know it's a long game, but does that let government off the hook in terms of what services could be or need to be provided in the more immediate future?
I think the thing is, I think what I know is that that's why it takes a long time. I mean, this is decades of now, you know, what I'll say is government neglect. And so they're building an army of Indigenous psychologists. That won't happen tomorrow. But we know that into the future we will actually have our greatest opportunity of actually curbing the suicide rate. If we have, for example, 30 Indigenous psychologists in the Kimberley, we won't be talking about the highest rates of suicide or incarceration and all those things that we talk about now for decades. But, look, I don't expect governments to be across something this complex. But what I do actually expect is that the government actually looks to people who have dedicated decades to unpacking, you know, what are really complex issues. And so that's been my big frustration, I guess, is that they don't actually defer to the expertise that's actually under their nose.
Tracy Westerman, it has been great to have you on the morning's program this morning to hear about the concert and some of the graduates you are working with. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.